The year that made me.
The year that made me.
The year that made me.
The year that made me. The year that made me.
Yes, it is. Well, who will it be? We're going to meet someone and discover a pivotal moment in their life, a time that changed them, shaped them. This week, a performer, a man of great and diverse talent, an Australian national living treasure. It will be safe to say that, though he's looking askance at the very idea. Here is a clue. A man, he's singing a role here which he truly made his own.
Turn your face away from the garish light of day. Turn your thoughts away from cold, unfeeling light, and listen to the music of the night.
He's maskless and therefore barely recognisable. It is, of course, Anthony Warlow.
The Masked Avenger.
There, in Phantom of the Opera. Anthony, welcome.
Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you very much.
That's amazingly evocative just to hear that, oof, suddenly in another place.
Yeah, it is. And I've not visited that for some time now. It was 2007 was the last time I attempted.
And before that, the original was way before that as well.
1990. So
you, yes.
Yeah. We were the fourth company in the world to perform Phantom. It had been, it did London, then it did New York. Went to Los Angeles with Michael Crawford, and then we had, there was a production in Chicago. Mm. And by the time it got to Australia, they had ironed out all the bugs in the set.
Lucky you.
Yeah, we actually were because we literally went from rehearsal room to a stage which was ready technically to
go. This was years of Michael Crawford copping a chandelier in the face inadvertently. Yeah. And you
That's
were
right.
spared this.
I was. And falling downstairs. extraordinary. But that's live theatre. It's the beauty of live theatre. And, it's one of those great moments when you do have to break the wall for an audience sometimes. I don't like doing it.
Yeah.
In this recent incarnation of Tevye in Fiddler, he does break the wall. The first thing he says is to the audience. He tells them it's a fiddler on the roof.
Because in musical theatre, the wall is a pretty robust device.
Yes, it is. It really is. And it really shouldn't be broken unless it's a conception, something that's been conceived to be broken.
Yes.
And it's usually through a narrative, and that's what Tevye is in Fiddler. He's narrating the show, but once that happens with the audience, the next thing is to God and his whole inner monologues, and sometimes outer monologues are with God.
You're no Chaim Topol.
No, I'm not. I'm not Jewish, but I do have a capacity of, as someone said, you tend to channel people and characters, and I also do a lot of research. I've always been interested in history. And I found that most of the reading that I would take up as a younger man was to do with roles that I was about to play, particularly when I was with the opera company, as I was there, I was 18, 19, or roles that I thought I could possibly play and needed to know, A, the histrionics and the social circumstances around those characters. So I get very involved in that.
And it's incredibly assiduous. I mean, that's...
Well, it's just that's kind of the way. And I think, to be honest with you, I think it's partly... It's a lot to do with my success because I do take it very seriously.
Fiddler on the Roof, current show. I mean, that, like all your work, this is an extraordinary schedule. This is massive demands. This is one or two shows a day and shows of great complexity and demand on you in a variety of ways. How do you do that?
One becomes very disciplined. I am a disciplined soul. I find that the satisfaction level is usually a bonus that happens at the end of doing it a couple of times and going, oh, this is actually, particularly with a role that I've never done before, and Tevye is one of those. Someone said to me, are you enjoying this, being an Australian? I said, yeah, I'm the Goy from Oz. Now, I was told that phrase "goy" is actually derogatory. Well, I thought, oh, golly, I wouldn't want to offend anybody, so I went online and I did some research on it, as is my wont. And all I could find was that it was a term that is used to mean a nation, in other words, Gentiles and what have you, or not Jewish, which is what I am. I'm not Jewish, so I thought it would be okay to say.
I think it's funny.
I think it's
a good line.
Sweet.
Anthony Warlow is about to reveal to us here on Sunday Extra the year that made him. And that takes the conversation, I think, into a different territory. 1992 mm-hmm. was that year.
Yeah. It was the year that I was diagnosed with my lymphoblastic lymphoma, my cancer. And I had finished my year with Phantom of the Opera here in Melbourne. I decided, before I knew that I had the cancer, I decided to move on. And the industry, the powers that be, weren't particularly happy about that.
What do you mean by move on?
To leave the show and go and test other waters. Hmm. I had had a great success with it. It was a great profile builder. And at the end of it, it was tiring. I was the youngest Phantom in the world at the time. I was given the very large blessing from Hal Prince with the role, and indeed Cameron gave me the role. And I knew, as I mentioned earlier, with the histrionics and what have you that I adore, I knew that I could play the role. But having done Les Miserables before that for 2 and a bit years, when the auditions came up, I looked at the cast list and the age groups and all those defining factors, and I thought, well, I'm too young to play the Phantom, so I'll push my luck for Raoul. And one of the executive producers came up to me one day and said, I think you should have a go at the Phantom. And I said, I'm too young. He said, we think you can do it. I said, I know I can do it, but would I be accepted? As, you know, at that point, I think I was 26.
Well, being too young to be a Phantom, too young to die too.
Yes, exactly. So I had all that success, and then I decided in my craw that I needed to move on. Now, maybe something in my system was giving me a hint to slow down. I'd really worked for a good 5, nearly 6 years without a break. And then in May of that year, I was about to launch the Jesus Christ Superstar Tour with John Farnham and Kate Sobrano, and I was about to play pilot. And we went to the... I think it was the Park Hyatt in Sydney, and I got out of the car and collapsed. And I thought it was just exhaustion because I was pushing an album and what have you, and went to the room. The room was spinning. I never forget it. And a physician came in and did some tests on me and said, we think you should get a biopsy done tomorrow. It might be nothing. It might just be exhaustion. So I had the press launch, which I did the press launch that evening, went and had the biopsy the next morning, was admitted to hospital 2 days later, and it was removed, and it was malignant and what have you, but it was that they got it all. But then came the 6 months of intravenous chemotherapy and another 6 months of oral. It was a time when I was challenged emotionally. My faith was challenged, but I decided that it was here for a reason at the time, and I was quote unquote by the nurses at RPA, who were extraordinary with me. I suffered from hippo and a tutu syndrome, which they said you are the toughest human being we've known for a long time. And considering your psychological bent, that you will fly through this process. And apparently I did.
Anthony Warlow did indeed, and is now performing in Melbourne with Fiddle on the Roof. It will be in Sydney in March. The work, Anthony, continues.
He does.
You've chosen a song for us as well, of course.
Well, this is a song not necessarily from the year. It's the year before, actually, which is the album that I was promoting when I collapsed. But it's very poignant, and it's about the emotional stakes that my life were about to take and had taken, and it's by Stephen Sondheim, an incredible composer of very adult musicals. And will I give the title?
I think you must.
Being Alive.
Anthony Warlow, thank you so much.
Thank you. Great to talk to you.
Somebody hold me too close. Somebody hurt me too deep. Somebody sit in my chair and ruin my sleep and make me aware of being alive, being alive. Somebody need me too much. Somebody know me too well. Somebody pull me up short and put me through hell and give me support for being